Chapter 6. Nans and the ladies picked out an assortment of pastries for Howard, and of course, some for themselves. Helen, though, stuck to her low-carb intentions, pulling a piece of string cheese from her purse and meticulously pulling strings off and eating them while the others shoved cupcakes into their faces. 20 minutes later, they pulled to the curb in front of Howard and Mary Archer's house. The small ranch-style home had a well-kept yard. No other cars were parked in the driveway or on the street. That meant they'd be the only condolence wishers around. Talking to Howard about his wife's death was probably best done without other mourners listening in. Lexi felt a pang of guilt. Should they really be questioning the man the day after his wife was murdered? It seemed a bit insensitive. Then again, wishing him condolences could be comforting. 40 years of marriage. Lexi couldn't imagine losing Jack now, let alone after all that time. It would be devastating. 2 rocking chairs sat on one side of the porch, with a table between them, upon which was a pot of wilting pansies. Nans knocked on the door, and Howard answered on the second round. The poor man looked decidedly disheveled, in his wrinkled shirt and pants, topped with a threadbare bathrobe, his stockinged feet sticking out from beneath the hem of his trousers. Dark circles rimmed his eyes behind his glasses, and his dark gray hair stuck up at odd angles. His expression was a blend of annoyance and deep sorrow. He didn't look like a man who'd just killed his wife. He looked like a man who'd lost his best friend, his life partner, his everything. But maybe he was a good actor. "Howard," Nans said, holding out the box of pastries. "We wanted to stop by and offer our condolences on Mary's passing. We're so very sorry for your loss."
"Oh."
He stared down at the white box tied with pink and white bakery twine, then back up at each of them. The irritation and darkness left his expression, replaced by appreciation.
"Thank you. Please, won't you come in?"
Inside, the place looked like what you'd expect for a man who'd been married for 4 decades and suddenly found himself alone. Even though it hadn't even been 24 hours, mail and assorted newspapers were scattered about the tables and sofa. Plates of half-eaten food joined the mix, probably left over from Mary's cooking, or perhaps goodwill offerings brought by neighbors. He hurried to clear spaces for them to sit. Lexi couldn't help feeling sorry for the man, despite what he might have done. He seemed truly discombobulated, so she stepped in to help. "Howard, I'm Nans's granddaughter, Lexi. We've met in passing at the community center, but I'm not sure you remember me. Anyway, why don't you sit down and relax, and I'll make us some fresh coffee to enjoy with these pastries. Does that sound all right?" His shoulders sagged with relief.
"Yes, please. That sounds lovely. Mary always played hostess. I'm afraid I'm not very good at it. No idea what I'm doing."
Lexi gave him a small smile and made her way to the kitchen, picking up the dirty plates and glasses along the way. Ruth, Ida, and Helen joined Nans on the sofa to sit with Howard and make small talk, while Lexi fumbled around in the tiny 1970s avocado and gold kitchen, putting things away, then setting the scones out on a plate. She went in search of the makings for coffee. She found the coffee and filters in the 3rd cabinet and set up the coffee machine with a new filter for the job. Mary and Howard kept the trash under the sink. As she tossed the package from the filters, something bright pink caught her eye. She pulled the trash out, sadness washing over her, when she saw scraps of pink flamingo wrapping paper. Just as Barb had said, Howard had wrapped a gift for his wife, and judging by the cut-up pieces, he wasn't a very good wrapper. It reminded Lexi of the excess paper Jack had to cut off of the gifts he wrapped for her. But would Howard take the time to wrap a gift for his wife before killing her? Had they gotten into a fight? Maybe Mary didn't like the gift. Lexi waited for the coffee to perk, then carried the whole tray into the living room, where she found Nance and the ladies making small talk with Howard. She poured coffee for everyone, and they all picked a pastry from the dish, while Nance got down to some gentle interrogation. "Howard, what happened to Mary was truly despicable." She nibbled on her ham and cheese scone. "But I have to ask, do you know anyone who would want to hurt her?"
No.
Howard frowned down into his cup, his fingers trembling slightly.
"Absolutely not. That's just the thing. Everyone loved her."
Ruth sipped her coffee, watching Howard over the rim of her cup.
"Perhaps the murder wasn't about her, then. Maybe it was about something she had in her possession. Can you think of anything she might have owned that someone else would desperately want? The contest trophy? Or what about the signed book?"
Howard scrunched his nose.
"That trophy wasn't worth more than $20. I picked it up at the shop the other day. And that book came from a garage sale. Who'd want to kill for either of those things?"
"Well, I find it terribly sad," Nan sighed, setting her cup on the table. "Especially after you'd just given her that lovely gift."
"What?"
Howard shifted in his seat, his gaze lowered and his expression uncomfortable.
"I don't know anything about a gift."
"Really?" Ida piped in around a mouthful of scone. "You didn't give her a gift right before she died. I thought I heard you mention that."
Nance gave Ida a stern look before continuing.
"Either way, how awful you must feel, knowing that you could have prevented her murder."
"I don't know what you mean,"
Howard said, scowling.
"I had no idea that was going to happen. How in the world could I have possibly prevented it?"
"Well, you were there outside her office just moments before she left to go to the pie room, weren't you?"
Nance blinked at him innocently.
"That's what Sylvia Hensel told us. Perhaps if you just kept your beloved wife there a few moments longer, the killer might not have had the opportunity to attack her."
Face red, Howard leaned forward, his eyes glittering with anger behind his glasses.
"No, you listen to me, Mona. I don't know where you ladies are getting your information, but it had better be from a more reliable source than Sylvia Hensel. I was nowhere near Mary's office, either before or after she died. You can take that to the bank."
"Oh, goodness."
Nance's tone turned apologetic, dripping with faux remorse.
"Well, we certainly never meant to imply that you had anything to do with what happened to your Mary, Howard. I'm so sorry. We were just trying to put all the pieces together."
Then she smiled, one Lexi had seen many times on her grandmother's face, right before she went in for a direct strike.
"But if you don't mind me asking, and all in the spirit of having a well-rounded picture of things, where exactly were you when Mary was killed? If you weren't outside her office, that is."
"Playing poker."
Howard gestured across the sofa to Ruth.
"She was there. Don't you remember? I was in the poker room the whole time. She saw me."
Ruth winced under everyone's direct scrutiny, then nodded.
"He was. I forgot." "Right."
Howard pushed to his feet and headed for the front door, holding it open as he gestured back.
"I think it's about time for you ladies to leave."
Ida quickly shoved the last of her scone into her mouth, then grabbed a second from the box and dropped it into her purse, before following the rest of the ladies back out onto the porch.
"Are you sure you wouldn't like us to stay a bit longer?" Lexi asked at the threshold, unable to get the picture of that wrapping paper out of her mind. He'd had the gift, just as Barb had said. But he was lying about it. Maybe if they could talk to him longer, they'd find out why. Even though Lexi had to pick sprinkles up from the groomer, she could be a few minutes late. She still had a feeling that Howard was not the killer. Maybe he'd simply forgotten or blocked it from his memory as too painful. "I could help tidy up a bit and warm you something for dinner later on."
"No, thank you. I believe you ladies have done quite enough. Good day."
With that, Howard closed the door in their faces. They slunk back to the VW, Nans and the others chatting about what they'd just learned.
"Well, that was a complete bust," Helen said.
"Did you really see Howard at that poker game?" Nans asked.
"Now that I think about it, I did," Ruth shrugged. "Sorry I got that wrong earlier. It was just so chaotic. There were multiple tables and the room was busy. But I do remember seeing him in there. And he was there for a while."
Lexi walked around to the driver's side of the car and clicked the fob to unlock the doors.
"Well, there is one thing he is lying about for certain. I saw the flamingo wrapping paper that Barb said the gift was wrapped with in the trash in the kitchen."
"Interesting," Nan said, holding the seat forward so Ruth, Helen, and Ida could get into the back.
"But Howard said he'd never given Mary a gift, which means he lied. Why would he do that?"
Ida chuckled.
"Maybe his gift wasn't for his wife."
Once they were all settled in the vehicle, Lexi started the engine and pulled out onto the quiet residential street, while the ladies continued to discuss the case.
"There could be other reasons Howard lied about that gift," Helen said.
"Like what?" Nans asked, catching her eye in the rearview mirror.
"Maybe Barb was mistaken in what she saw," Ruth offered. "Lord knows she does like to exaggerate."
"True,"
Ida said, stuffing half of her second scone in her mouth. Lexi made a mental note to vacuum the car later to pick up all those loose crumbs. Nans looked at her watch.
"Good thing we have perfect timing, then. It's just about time for Lexi to pick up sprinkles. We can verify with Betty Farmer if there really was a gift."